Good morning, everybody. It is October 25th, 2021, 6 days from Halloween. I hope that you have your costumes ready. We have all of our costumes ready here. We've got a Cruella, a skeleton, a ghost, a wraith, all kinds of sly, scary beasties ready to go. We're going to talk about Dune today. First, I have a request. If you have any knowledge of some weird new TikTok trend or whatever would cause this bizarre event to happen, let me know. I've certainly already reached out to some of my students. No clue what's going on here. Weird event this weekend. Go out in my driveway. At the end of my driveway, now I have like basically a forest in my front yard. It's not that long of a driveway, but it's, you know, a lot of old tall trees there. It's not a yard, it's just like the woods, and my driveway sneaks through the woods. And at the end of the woods out by, or at the end of the driveway in the woods out by the main road, such as it is, there were a bunch of eggs with Dungeons and Dragons quotes on them, and of course I used to work for Dungeons and Dragons, freelance Hasbro, Wizards of the Coast, and a bunch of math equations written on them. And they weren't hard-boiled or anything, they were just eggs, but some of them were broken and some of them were not. Out in the driveway. I don't get it. I don't understand what happened there. Did somebody like try to egg my house and just miss the house or chicken out and just leave the eggs at the end of the driveway? Maybe? Is there some new trend? Is this the new Tide Pods to break eggs at the end of driveways? This is very strange. Very strange. With the little messages written on them. I don't know. If you know what's going on there, hit me up. Twitter, ADK Homeroom, and of course here in the comments. Let me know, because that was really, really bizarre. But other than that, you know, great weekend, typical Adirondacks, late fall weekend before Halloween, getting all the candies ready, got the cheese balls for the ghosts, for the pumpkin poop, and you've got marshmallows for the ghost poop for your snacks, you got your chocolate pudding with your gummy worms in it for the worms in the dirt, peeled grapes for your eyeballs, and your cold pasta for the guts. Good party coming up on Saturday, and we had the soccer night game on Saturday. All right, let's talk about Dune here. So, the movie Dune came out this weekend, and it's gorgeous. Gorgeous. I've seen some people say it's one of the most beautiful things that they have seen. I think that they need to maybe check out Red Dead Redemption, Elder Scrolls Online. Even Outer Banks, I don't think it was quite as beautiful as some of these other productions that have come out in the last decade. But it is beautiful. I absolutely put it in the top tier of beauty. Tremendous aesthetics, and it's sophisticated form of beautiful too. It's not just, you know, straight in your face. It gives you a palette to think about. The palette's blue and brown, of course, as you would expect from the ocean planet to the desert planet. And that relates, of course, to the sort of subdued pace. And then it contrasts vividly with Paul's prescient visions of jihad. So, fantastic scores there for the beauty and for the visuals and for the sophisticated presentation, the visual presentation. The sound is also beautiful. Hans Zimmer doing a great job on the sound, and in particular, the otherworldly sounds, like when you see the Sardaukar training and when you see the shields shimmering from the hunter seeker assassin drones and things like that, you get a wonderful sense of immersion, or at least it deepens the sense of immersion that you already have from the movie. Fantastic stuff right there. So I'm always reminded of Kurt Vonnegut. He said that a critic is someone who attacks a hot fudge sundae while wearing a full plate of armor. So we're not attacking here. Not attacking. I don't mind wearing a full suit of plate armor, though. It's pretty cool. But definitely appreciating Dune. Fantastic film. I recommend it. I would say go seeing it. But let's see where it fits into our broader cultural spectrum right now. Of course, the biggest cultural movement that is happening at all levels of art and really culture right now. I don't care if you're talking about the National Football League or if you're talking about an exhibit at the Whitney, you are going to have to reckon with wokeism, with being woke. Undercover Brother, too, by the way. Fantastic send-up of woke. Spectacular, even. Just as this movie is spectacular, although it's not as sophisticated as this movie by any means. But I do recommend Undercover Brother, too. Go check it out. Pretty darn good. All right, so let's look and see where Dune fits on this woke spectrum. I'm going to give you three things that tend to push it one way on the spectrum, and three things that tend to push it another way on the spectrum, and then I am going to let you know where I think exactly on that spectrum it falls. And when we're talking about the spectrum, right, we're talking about a 0 to 100 scale, for example, and on the zero side, the most woke side, you would have maybe The Lorax at a 15. Maybe The Last Jedi at a 20, right? Something like Zero Dark 30, maybe at a 30, somewhere in there. And then on the other end of the spectrum, right, you would maybe have F9, Fast and Furious movies being somewhere like a 70, maybe a 75, and Cruella, of course, being like an 80 or an 85. If you haven't seen Cruella and you're looking for an anti-woke movie, go out and see it. I did another podcast on how anti-woke Cruella is and really how sneaky it is about being anti-woke. Go check that out. Talk about a hunter seeker drone. Oh my goodness. So go check out that podcast and definitely see that movie. All right, so let's see here. Three things that tend to push this movie, Dune, into the woke direction. First thing, right? Dr. Leigh Keynes is a black woman now. I think in the movie, or I know in the movie, they pronounce it Leigh Kynes, but 98% sure it's supposed to be pronounced Leigh Keynes. Think that Frank Herbert said so in some old interviews that he did about Dune, right? Made a career out of Dune, Frank Herbert did. So this is especially funny because in those same interviews, Herbert made the point that Leigh Keynes represented Western man, right? That's a quote, Western man. And so to have, Dr. Keynes be the one that you are switching from the way his character is in the book to the way it is portrayed in the movie is a little bit ironic, I suppose. And there's no reason, right? If you haven't seen the movie, there are spoilers in this, by the way. I will put this in the description, but don't listen anymore if you don't want any spoilers. So there's no reason, right, in the plot or in the purpose of the movie, as far as the movie can have a purpose. There's no artistic reason for Leigh Keynes to be a black woman. It doesn't make any difference to the plot at all. The only reason that you would change Leigh Keynes from how he is in the book to the way the character is presented in the movie, the only reason is to appease the woke mobs, the woke crowds, or if you've completely bought into it yourself, to fulfill some new aesthetic that claims the quality of art is influenced by, in the case of movies, by the color of the skin of the characters in the movie. This is a questionable aesthetic, right? Remember just 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, we had this great movement, Color Doesn't Matter. Color doesn't matter. There were anti-bias committees everywhere springing up, the ABCs, and their rallying cry was, color doesn't matter, color doesn't matter. Well, guess it does kind of matter to the woke crowd and to the people whose aesthetics have been informed by wokeism, because clearly the black skin mattered here, and Dr. Lee Keynes needed to have black skin for this movie. So that's point one that pushes the film in the direction of zero on the woke to realist or rational scale. 0 to 100, 0 being woke, 100 being actual, real, and realistic and rational. All right, let's move on to number two. The second point that pushes the movie in the woke direction would be its apparent, and I do emphasize apparent sympathy for the desert jihadis, right? Living brutally and savagely and tribally, as opposed to the technological, sophisticated society of industry. Certainly part of the woke movement is ostensibly, right? They talk about it. Whether they walk the walk is another question, but certainly part of the talk of the wokeism movement and the dogma that you have to confess to believing in, whether you actually do or not, involves nature and getting back to nature and rejecting the materialism ascribed to capitalism in the woke movement. And it's about mountains and lakes and trees and leaves and dirt. And these things are wonderful and beautiful. And the sophistication and the big box stores and the cyborgs wandering around with earbuds in their ears, these things are not woke, and they tend to go against this idea that wokeism has of getting back to truth and community and togetherness. So in this movie, you're seeing that apparently Paul and Jessica are moving from a benighted, dark, almost drowning position in their noble house, in their sophisticated technological society that can travel among the stars, and then they're having this enlightenment, right? The movie suddenly gets light, there's suddenly sunlight in it when they're out in the desert with this brutal, savage society, and they're closer together, Paul and his mother, than they ever have been. And of course, it's Paul's great destiny to go out there, and this is his path to becoming a true hero. So, on the surface, at least, this movie is saying that you want to move toward this more natural spot. You want to reject materialism. You want to be introspective and sort of more platonic than you would Aristotelian. You don't want to be empirical. You don't want to go out and do experiments in the real world. You just want to get back to living in the dirt, living with the worms, and not dealing with all the complications of a technologically advanced society. So that definitely pushes it, you know, in the woke direction. Now, I say it apparently does this because if you know how the Dune series goes, we know what happens eventually, right? And even in this movie, there are scenes of prescience and Paul seeing the bloody holy war that he won't be able to stop if he comes to the throne. But I still say that this pushes the movie in the woke direction because that bloody holy war that he unleashes is not in this movie other than as glimpses of a future that we do not know is inevitable. Just within the confines of this movie, we are not certain that that future is inevitable and that this holy war is going to kill billions throughout the galaxy. So just based on this movie, then yeah, I think it's making the argument for wokeism that materialism is bad and rationality is bad and we should go with emotions and tribalism. And if you don't think that wokeism is all about tribalism and all about rejection of materialism, then I would suggest you examine the premises of wokeism and its consequences. So yeah, only death and torture are waiting there in the society of industry, but family and freedom and your true place in the world out in the desert with the jihadis. All right, and then finally, ecology, right? This is the third piece that pushes the movie in the direction of wokeism, the ecology. Here, Dune is a desert planet, but and the good guys want to stop that, right? There's hints in this movie that they want to stop evil industry from exploiting Dune's natural resources. They want to make it a paradise with water and with an easy life rather than this harsh desert climate that's out there. And the movie definitely presents the industry as destroying the ecosystem of the planet, at least in the sense of keeping it a parched world that is inhospitable, I should say, to humans. Now, of course, this is nuanced too, and the movie gets a lot of credit for being nuanced and preserving the subtle nuances of the book. Not easy to do on screen always. But the movie does make a point that the way that the Fremen would, or, you know, Leet Keynes would make Arrakis into this Garden of Eden paradise is through technology. So there's a paradox there. Nonetheless, there is absolutely this presentation in the movie that the exploitation of natural resources is keeping Dune a desert wasteland. Looks like the Lorax after all the trees have been gone. And it's got monsters roaming around on it. Just within this movie now. We're not looking ahead in the series or anything like that. And so that ends up going into the woke column. Absolutely the anti-industrial message is woke. If fusion power ever hits here in real life, the woke movement will be against it, right? The woke movement is against energy no matter what. If solar cells and wind power actually ever become viable options for replacing fossil fuels and they start to become, you know, 60% of our power supply, 80%, woke culture will be protesting against that too, against killing the bats, against killing the birds. There's always something to protest, and it's not the form of the energy. It's really not the pollution. It's not the negative externalities. What's being protested by the woke movement when it comes to the environment is, in fact, just the energy itself. It is the ability of humans to be efficacious in their environment. It doesn't matter where it comes from. No matter where it comes from, there will always be, right? This is the second law of thermodynamics. There will always be byproducts. There will always be some increase in entropy somewhere. And whether it's that or whether it's something else, the woke movement will always find something to complain about when it comes to energy, just as they do in Dune, right? Just as we see here, there's some terrible, terrible consequences to harvesting spice, which is not, of course, exactly energy, and it's very interesting. In fact, let's get to that. That is our first point that moves this movie in the direction of realism, in the direction of rational thought, as opposed to wokeism, this fantasy world that is divorced from reality. So yeah, the spice effect on immortality is not not at all emphasized in this movie. Is Spice is presented as part of the Spacing Guild's ability to navigate between the stars. They really don't talk about Spice being a life extender, being a physical fitness extender, which of course it has a huge role that way traditionally. So traditionally, I mean, you know, in the original Dune series. So that is clearly pushing it in the anti-woke movement, because part of the woke movement, right, is that only bad guys will seek immortality. Only bad guys want this sort of materially rich life that present, you know, that sees physical life here with a soul bound to a body as wonderful, as delicious, as something to be extended. Right, the woke movement is more like a traditional religious movement where, like in the old Gnostic text, The Pearl, you're supposed to see the body as the gross clam and the soul inside of it is this beautiful pearl. And the soul can go outside of the clam and go on, and the pearl can go outside of the clam and be beautiful on its own. And that, you know, is definitely a theme that can be explored in Dune and immortality. And they easily could have seized on Spice's effects at prolonging life and talked about the Harkonnens doing just that, extending their lives with Spice, and the evils of life extension throughout the galaxy, and how that desire for longer life is really at the root of this whole problem and everybody's desire for Spice. But they don't. They actually emphasize its psychoactive effects way more than they emphasize in this movie its Spice's effects on lifespan. And the primary reason, of course, they present it is that it allows the Spacing Guild to navigate between the stars and maintain the economy of the Empire. Really interesting that they chose not to look at its effects on immortality, and hopeful. Right? I did another podcast earlier, like in September. I mean, I've only been podcasting for about 7 weeks now, so don't have to go that far back. But if you look in September, you'll see I did a podcast on the new immortality and Calico and companies like that trying to extend human life. And only 30 years ago, right, when I would say to students, when I would say to friends that old age is a disease, they would look at me like I was crazy, and I would say, we have to cure old age. And they would say, what? You are nuts. Old age isn't a disease. But I think that people are finally coming around on that, and I think that maybe this movie is representative of the fact that people aren't viewing immortality as the root of all evil, and the desire to live forever as a fundamentally evil force in human interaction. So that's great there. That's great. That's the first thing that moves the movie away from the woke end of the spectrum and toward the rational end of the spectrum, is that it eschews, it foregoes the opportunity to attack immortality, which was right there for it. I mean, that's a meatball. That's a softball down the center of the plate, and they choose not to hit it. So good. Next, we have two more points that move the movie toward the rational side of the spectrum. And the next point is the masculinity. They do not, and when I say they, I guess it's Denis Villeneuve, right, the director here. Villeneuve does not hesitate to embrace the masculinity of the original novel. It almost seems like a foreign world at this point. Only going back, about almost 60 years, 55 years to when Dune was published in 1965. But the culture that it takes for granted in this split between the masculine and the feminine is as alien to us now as anything else in the novel is, right? Women in the novel, and Villeneuve keeps it in the movie, women are in the support role. They are childbearing. They are about marriage. They are about breeding. They are about the home. When the Atreides arrive in Arakeen, right? Leto goes to meet with the counselors and do the business and get the spice production back online and deal with the military and all these big important things. And what does Jessica do? Jessica just goes and looks at the house staff and hires a maid for, you know, a housekeeper. So this is very traditional. The dress between the masculine and the feminine people is extremely different. Between the men and the women is extremely different. Now, you might say, again, it's nuanced, of course, which is to its credit. You might say, well, hold on here. Wait a second. They do have fighting women here, right? Jessica beats up the chief out in the desert when Paul has to prove himself, or just before Paul has to prove himself. So, yes, that's true. But how does she do it? She uses the weirding way, right? She uses witch skills. And witches have constantly been traditionally a role that the female plays, right? We just say the word witch and you think female in the Western tradition. This goes back to Baba Yaga and people like that, characters like that. So, yeah, sure. Jessica manages to fight really well, but it's because she is a witch. And just like Joan of Arc, there's a supernatural element ascribed to her there. And there has to, and it's called the weirding way, right? It has to be weird for a woman to fight. And that is definitely not the way that our culture is these days, only 55 years later. You can't go into the YA section of your bookstore without seeing 30 different novels about teenage girl assassins that are, you know, double wielding daggers and slicing and dicing their way through the best militaries that their fantasy worlds have to offer. Very different here in Dune, very different. So, you know, you see Paul training to fight, you see Paul physically working. They talk about his muscles. They make a point about the shields. They show him in combat, physical training with Gurney, and they talk about it with Duncan, all men. And then what does Jessica do? What do the females do? They just talk about having babies, and they dress, you know, for that. So very interesting. Very interesting that Villeneuve kept that. Now, the last point that pushes it toward the rationalist side or the non-woke side is that this movie, I can't believe they're not in trouble for this, it completely appropriates Muslim culture. I mean, it just takes it and runs with it. And Villeneuve is not Muslim. He is not from a predominantly Muslim country, right? I believe he is French Canadian, Quebecois even. And I thought the rules were that if you were not Muslim, you cannot make a movie with Muslim culture in it, or you're appropriating it. Or if you are not Islamic, you cannot play an Islamic character, or at least, you know, maybe those aren't the rules, but they kind of are, you know, they kind of are those rules. And they're getting a pass on this in this movie because they even call Paul the Mahdi at one point, right? And the desert, the jihad, the holy war, the outfits, everything is completely appropriated from, you know, jihad as a way of life. And they're clearly speaking, just as Frank Herbert was, about a powerful but very dangerous society living out in the desert and preparing to begin this holy war that's going to slaughter billions across the face of the supposedly more civilized galaxy. This, you know, desert society full of holy war warriors is in control of a super precious resource, right? You might be thinking oil, for example. And by leveraging the power of this society, a holy war is released that or launched that, not in this movie, but of course we know how it turns out in the books, that ends up, killing billions across the stars. So for Villeneuve to get away with appropriating this culture and the, like I said, the Mahdi and the coming of the prophet, I find it very interesting that this has not been attacked. All right, a couple more points before we get to where it falls, exactly where it falls. So a couple more points. Number one, they didn't take a shot at Warhammer 40K. Oh, I was hoping they would. If you're familiar with Warhammer 40K, they completely ripped off Dune, right? They have the Psykers, the mutated guild spacers that guide the travel through space. They have the Emperor, the Padishah Emperor, who's in charge, but he's also distant and he's removed. They have the armor that is just gigantic compared to the people who are wearing the armor, but yet somehow it's not powered. It's not a mech suit. And they have the psi powers mixed in with the hand-to-hand bladed combat. Oh my goodness. So I wish that Dune, the movie, would have somehow found a way to call 40K out for that, but they didn't. Perhaps they're bigger men than I am to avoid or to restrain themselves. But I sure would have, because it bugged me for decades that 40K has so blatantly and shamelessly ripped off Dune like that. And I will say that the Villeneuve, in my book, he gets an A, top tier directing job, maybe not S plus, but certainly S tier directing job here. There are some flaws. The pacing of the movie, the plot of the movie is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. People are talking about this all over. It ends in a weird spot. It doesn't feel like the end. I thought it was going to end a few times before it actually did end. And of course, that might be related to how the book was originally published, right, in two different serial versions in Analog magazine back in the 60s. So probably that had a big effect on how the movie comes across on the screen, right? It feels a little slow in parts, too quick in other parts. Some things are missing, some things are rushed. But when you're trying to make, I don't know how many parts they're trying to make, this is only part one. When you're trying to make a book into three parts, and the book is originally published in two parts, that presents some problems, obviously. So, yeah, the director definitely gets an A. We're grading on a curve here because this is a hard, hard, nasty book to film, right? Traditionally seen as hard, one of the hardest. Now, where do we put this ultimately on the scale from 0 to 100, right? On the one side, you have the woke, on the other side, you have the real. I would put it really right around a 60. I think it is less woke than it is real. I think that the things that I outlined for you, like appropriating culture, like spice and its immortality effect not being the root of all evil here, like separating men and women strongly, and by extrapolation, talking about the differences between the genders, the inescapable differences between the genders, I think those outweigh the other factors that I presented here. And many of those factors are nuanced, right? If you're talking about the ecology here, the way that they are going to fix the ecology is through technology. So overall, this comes down slightly more on the real side than the woke side. It is closer to Cruella than it is to The Last Jedi or The Lorax. And I love The Last Jedi, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that the underlying philosophy and worldview of The Last Jedi was certainly woke. That's going to be it for this episode of the podcast, folks. I hope you'll find me on 80K Homeroom on Twitter. Hope you'll comment. Please remember to subscribe, and I will talk to you soon. Take care.